The eternal incarnate, accursed, exalted God. Here's Philippians 2, 5-11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does this passage tell us about our God? Three things. First, that the eternal God became incarnate. Verses 6 and 7 again. Though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. God the Son became the Son of God. The eternal second person of the Trinity, who had existed with the Father and the Spirit from eternity past, added to his divine nature a human nature. In the Bible's words elsewhere, he took on flesh. And we mustn't miss how stunning this is. One writer has put it like this: the invisible became visible. The untouchable became touchable. The unlimited became limited. The unbreakable became fragile. Spirit became matter. Eternity entered time. The Almighty became weak. In the words of another writer, he who was larger than the universe became an embryo, and he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, the Creator being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls of the womb and floated in the amniotic fluid of his mother. Which begs the question, why? Why would the eternal second person of the Trinity leave the unimaginable glory of heaven to become the son of a young, unmarried girl in this fallen, broken, tragedy-tainted world? Why did God become man? And we get the answer by reading on in Philippians 2. Now listen again to the next verse, verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He became a man so that he would be able to die. And not just die, but die a very particular death. Death on a cross. And Paul says, even death on a cross. Because that was the most disgusting, agonizing and shameful death imaginable. And according to scripture, it signified being under God's curse for sin. So having seen that the eternal God became incarnate, we see now that the incarnate God became accursed. And this was because Jesus took upon himself God's curse, God's righteous judgment for sin in our place. He didn't have any sin of his own. It was for our sin for which he died, so that we might go free. And yet that's not the end of the story, because listen finally again to verses 9 and 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The eternal God became incarnate, the incarnate God became accursed, and third, we see that the accursed God became exalted. God the Father raised his Son back to life, thus proving that his sacrifice had worked, that he, the Father, had accepted it, that for those of us repenting and trusting in Jesus' death, our sin really is paid for. The curse really is taken away. We have eternal life instead of eternal judgment. And so what is left is to bow the knee to Jesus in humble submission and joyful worship. Every single knee will bow, as Philippians 2:10 assures us. The difference is that we get to bow now and have him as our loving, magnificent, ruling king, instead of being forced to bow later as his enemies and having him as our righteous, terrifying judge. And so as you go about your day, you can know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, as Paul says, and you can embrace the joyful humility that comes from knowing that.